Okay. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see you. Let's get started today with some grounding and just getting settled and bringing ourselves fully forward. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a few moments to really come into your body. Inhaling and exhaling. Using each breath to connect more deeply with yourself. Using each breath to connect more deeply with your wisdom. Bringing all of yourself here. Taking care to feel the breath move through your body. And as you bring yourself present in this way, I invite you to ask your heart, what is most important in your work or business this week? What is most important? Perhaps it's getting support on a client question. Perhaps it's knowing that it's finally time to do some outreach. Perhaps it's moving forward to put a workshop together, networking. What is it for you? What's most important? And whatever that thing is, I invite you to spend a couple of moments committing to it, making a commitment, being with it, not just with your mind, but with your heart and with your body. Even if you don't know exactly what to do to make it happen, start with committing. And from that place, ask your wisdom, ask your body, what is it that you need to know about moving forward? With this most important thing. What is it that you need to know about moving forward with this most important thing? And together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. You can open your eyes, take a moment to jot down any notes you want to jot down, along with maybe there's a question that you want to ask in our call today based on that. And with that, let's open up for cues. So, what do you need today? How can we help? Alana.
I'm like still jotting my notes. And I also just want to say ahead of time, I can't stay the whole time, and I normally really love to do that. So I just want to acknowledge that and ask for grace. So I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago that my brother was had some hospitalization issues, and he's doing better and healing now. And one of the questions I had was around launching a new cohort for my Creative Fire Circle. Creative Fire Circle started last year. It filled, I wanted 6 to 10 people. I filled it with 10. And then rather than launch a new one, the people in the circle kept wanting to continue. So we've actually had 3 cycles, and it's gotten a little smaller each time. Like it went from 10 to 8 to now 7. And so I feel now that it's actually time to open it up again. I have a couple of questions that are like related. So one is, I'm feeling the desire to maybe not like to let the women who are in it now stay if they want. That was something I thought couldn't, I thought it was like, either I have to run the curriculum that I did in the beginning, and then
you can sweep like new people in and keep the ones that are continuing. Absolutely.
And I have some fear around that, because this group is now extremely tight. So that's like a fear that I have. And then my question, I guess my real business question is like, I want to do this because of just where I'm at and everything I have going on. I want to do this in the simplest, most low-hanging, easiest way possible. Like I want to have a step-by-step way to do this. That's like, I don't want to do like, I know that I have fear about like big launches and visibility and anxiety, but like, I do want to tackle that. But also in this moment, I want to like, first of all, I don't even know how many women want to continue, because I haven't even told them that's an option. Cause I told them I was going to start a new cohort, but like, how do I make this the simplest possible?
Yes, I totally hear you. Simple is amazing. And there are moments for like big splashes, and then there are moments for not that, right? So, and this is not that moment for you, considering everything that's been going on. I don't think it's shirking because of fear, or, I don't think it's standing back because of fear at all. So there's a couple of pieces
here. Maybe a little bit.
Okay. Yes. And also, I think in this moment, that's okay. Right. So step one would be to speak to the existing cohort. And there are a couple of things that you want to say to them. So the first is, and think through some of this. You want to think about the people that are most likely to continue. Why? And you just want to speak to them. The people who you sense aren't going to continue, like they'll hear what you have to say, but it doesn't really matter. But you want to think about like, who are the ones that you know really they should continue? There's still more work there. And what you want to think about beforehand is why, right? Like what's in it for them to continue? Where are they now? Like where were they when they first started the circle? And where are they now? You want to kind of like lay that out. And then you want to say, and if you want to continue, here's what's possible and here's what you need to work on to get there, right? And so you want to really share all of that, make the invitation, and you do want to address this piece that there are going to be new people in. So are you planning on doing the same curriculum again?
So the, when it first started, it was the first session of it, it was very curriculum heavy. And that, like, I mean, it was still it's like not lectury. It was always like interactive, but I would create a set like text to look at every, certain parts remained the same, like the rituals. And then there were like and what the group requested when they asked to continue, they're like, first of all, can we meet every other week instead of every week? And I was like, great idea. And then they were like, and can we have weeks that are more like, not like 1 week that's more lesson planning where you give us a lot of material, and 1 week that's more like we're working in community. And that model has worked really well. So I might continue I might repeat some of the things from what they first did back in like the beginning, but not a lot of it. But I do like this kind of continued model. And I think ultimately my desire is to shift of more of like an open membership circle to this anyway, and less of like a launch every time.
Awesome. So there are a couple things that you're going to want to say. So number one, you're going to want to say, some of the material that we're going to be looking at, you looked at way back when, And this is on purpose. This is by design, because when we started and you looked at it, you were able to get like this level of it and this level of it. Now that we've done all this work together, now you're going to be able to get go here and here, and this is what's going to happen, right? So you really want to speak to that. And then you want to speak to the fact that it's been so amazing to have this tight group, and it's served in so many ways. And you say, like, there's a part of me that just wishes like we could just go on like this forever. But you've really been feeling the intuitive call to bring a few more new women into the circle and explain how it's going to benefit them and why that's important for them, right? And let them know it's what, you know, it's going to still feel really tight, because it is tight. And then it's just welcoming some new people in, right? So that's all step one. And then,
sorry, does that happen individually, or I share?
I would do it as a group. Okay. I would do it as a group, and I would probably just add an extra call so that you feel like you have the time and the spaciousness to lay all the pieces out. So that's step one, and hopefully a nice amount of them will continue. And when you'll see that, and you'll know kind of how many more need to, right? And if, I don't know when you want the new people to start, but you know, if it's sooner than later, you'll give the continuing people a deadline, let them know you get first dibs. There's 10 spots total, but I need to know by this date before I start reaching out. You can decide after that if there's still spots, but you know. And then depending on how many people you know, like you may know, Alana, 5 people that you're pretty sure would step in. And then, so the simplest is just outreach to those people. Don't do anything else. That's all, what you know, that's always the first thing usually that I recommend anyway. Or it might be a combo of reaching out to people and doing some social media posts and, you know, a couple of emails. I don't think you need to do a whole shebang. My guess is that at least 5 of the 7 are going to continue. And then it's, you know, filling 5 spots, which I even though I haven't like had my fingers so, you know, intimately in your business lately, I feel like you'll be able to fill those between some personal outreach and a couple of emails and posts. Okay. And that's that. Okay. If you're seeing that only 1 or 2 from the 7, you know, then come back and we can talk about maybe doing something a bit more, but I wouldn't want you to do it unless you had to.
I was thinking maybe doing what was really worked the first time was doing like a free workshop that I did like.
Right. As I was going to say, like that would be the extra thing if you want to do that, if you feel like you want to put that effort up.
I actually like prefer that to like other Great. Kinds of marketing because it's easy yeah. and it's fun and feels generous. So
awesome. Like, so do that. Okay. Yeah. And then that's it. I think you'll have your 10. Thank you. Yeah. You're welcome. I'm glad your brother is doing better. All right. Everyone, hang on. The heat vent is right by my desk and I thought I turned it off and I didn't, and I'm broiling over here. I just need to turn my heat off. Hold on. All right. Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to be on my treadmill, so don't mind the motion. Yeah, so I've been posting in the group about this, and it's been a long time thought cycle of mine. But the issue is I've just been having sort of like an ambivalent relationship with my product line for a long time. This actually happened last year, and I was working with another coach, and they helped me sort of like find the spark and the motivation. And I was like, oh, okay, like I can feel it again. And I massively reformulated, revamped, and they're so much better now. And I love them and I want them to exist. But whenever there comes a time when I have to like physically go to the kitchen to make the stuff, I just don't feel excited. I feel like a lot of resentment and like I would rather be doing X, Y, Z. Like really what I want to be spending my time doing right now is like writing and teaching. And there's like so many ideas that just like want more space and time. And there are things that I like about making the products, but there's just, it just bugs me that that's the feeling that I have towards it. And also like part of this is in my marketing, like I barely even talk about my products anymore because like there's so much other stuff that I want to say. So, you know, going through sacred rhythms and thinking about what wants to be destroyed, I'm like, I don't want the products to disappear. There's probably some fear there, but there's also like a desire for these things to exist. But I think it's time for me to let go of some of the responsibility.
Yeah.
That scares the hell out of me. And so whenever I start trying to be like, okay, I know that's what needs to happen. And I try to figure out, okay, how is this going to happen? I get so twisted and turned around and confused. And it doesn't feel possible and it feels hard. And then I just like give up and be like, it's easier for me to just keep doing it the way it is. So I'm just feeling really stuck with like what to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, cause I know I commented that I think a week or two ago you posted your awesome new labels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these are so cool. And you know, that was so my first thought was like, oh my God, these are so cool. I love this. And then my second thought was like, exactly what you're saying. Like Stephanie never talks about her products. I feel like it's this weird, like hidden child that, you know, it's just like, it's not getting the same kind of love as the other stuff. And so, you know, if it supports, like just to reflect back, that's just energetically everything that you're saying, my sense is that it's not coming from any place other than your deepest inner wisdom. And it's like, I could feel the love and also I could feel the like separation at the same time.
Yeah.
So what is it that gets you turned around exactly? Like what's the actual fear? Cause I get there are logistical pieces and you'd have to train someone and there's overseeing and that kind of thing. But my sense is that's not the problem. The inner piece is causing the confusion with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's logistical pieces around like my paperwork needs to be a lot clearer in terms of SOPs before I can hand stuff off. Okay. And I'm doing that. I'm working with a consulting company that's going to like do it all for me and make them good. Mm-hmm. So that feels like an important step that's been sort of a block of like, I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. Like, how can I tell someone else? I think one of the bigger things that comes up for me is when I'm just not used to being a boss. And the one time that I was in sort of like a managerial position was when I worked at the dispensary in the kitchen. And the person that I had working underneath me was terrible. Like, I'll just be blunt about it. Like, didn't follow directions, was very aggressive when called out on things that weren't done correctly. And it was just like a weird, tense relationship. And so I stepped back from that. And I thought at that point, I was like, I'm just not cut out for this. Like, I can't manage people. And so I think part of me is afraid that like, if I take someone on like that, like I won't be good at it.
Yeah.
And there's probably more to it, but that's sort of the simplest explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you know is actually true here about who you are as a manager?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing the best that I could in that moment. Like, it was not, he was not an ideal employee. And that was not my fault.
Yeah. And he wasn't somebody that you hired and vetted.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And I would not have done that. Mm-hmm. And I think also that at that point in my life, like, I tried to take on this managerial position in the kitchen while only working 15 hours a week and working another job, and I had a 2-year-old and I was still in school. Like, it was there, everything was just too much. And I'm at a very different place now.
Yeah. You didn't explicitly just say this, but as you were talking, what also popped into my head is, like, even though that may not have been a long time ago, I feel like you've matured and evolved mm-hmm. as, like, a person and an entrepreneur and a leader. You don't actually, I think it sounds like a lot was him and, you know, everything you said, but I think you also have certain skills now and inner knowing that you didn't even then.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have a lot more in the way of leadership skills at this point. And I have another person who works for me, my VA, who's like a contract, whatever. And that's been a learning process, but I feel like I've learned a lot more about communicating what I need and not feeling bad about having those needs, and like being able to say when something's not right in like a loving way. And I didn't have those skills before. So he didn't do something right. And I would just sort of like stew about it privately. And like, it wasn't productive, but I feel like I would be better at that now, hopefully.
So yeah. I'm hearing, tell me if you're hearing this too, that actually you do have what it takes to manage someone if you would bring them on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could. And there's like layers of fear. Like once that feels resolved, it's like I butt up against another.
Which fear. Is?
It just feels very like these formulas are very like, what am I trying to say? Like this is my thing.
I was waiting for us to get to this. Yeah, let's talk more about that.
And like, not that I don't trust someone to be able to execute it, right? I think that if I had the paperwork in order, like that would be fine. And maybe they'd even be better at it than me. But it's like, it just feels like giving up ownership of a really big part of my business that's been there since the beginning. And it's like, if I'm not, and it would change my company, it would change my business in a lot of ways. Like I've always been like, I'm the solo, like I do it all myself. It would just feel very different and like a little scary to give that part away.
Yeah. I have a feeling
too.
But what too? I didn't
it's
hear.
So liberating too. It's like this double-edged. Yeah.
Totally. My guest, Stephanie, is this is the piece right here. Because you've got the SOPs and the paperwork like in process. Mm-hmm. You know you've got the managerial skills. I think that's a front. That fear is a front. I think this is it. There's this ownership piece around it. And tell me if I'm getting this right, an identity piece around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's like giving up a piece of my identity, but also like taking on this new identity of like the boss lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and what's the identity that you feel that you have to give up if you do this?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think part of me still clings to this like pride of being like a DIYer, like of being able to do it all mm-hmm. and like more than is actually sustainable, but like having my hands in all of the things,
yeah,
and having control, like that's another piece of it, like giving up that control. maybe that's it. It's like, shifting away from a place of like self-sufficiency and like into a place where like I'm giving up control, but I also like have to take on this new way of controlling others that feels kind of icky.
I don't know, what is it about controlling others? That's interesting.
Because I'm telling someone else what to do, mm-hmm. and I don't like to do that.
Yeah. So what's a better way to think about being a boss lady? And there's a word I want to use, but I don't want to use it. And telling others what to do.
Yeah. And this is, I had a conversation with my partner the other day, and this is reminding me of where he was like, maybe you can frame it in terms of like, it's an internship.
I was actually thinking apprentice.
Right. Which would actually, like, I've always struggled with like, how do these two sides of my business fit together? But like, yeah, what if it was, they're helping me out, but I'm also like teaching them and like being in that space of mentorship and teacher that I'm actually really comfortable in, yeah. more so than boss.
And it may evolve from there, right? But my sense is the internship, I don't know why I like apprentice, just because of your craft and,
yeah,
whatever words feel right for you. But what I like about it is that, you can tell me this may not resonate for you, but I think it's more of an honoring of the wisdom and the knowledge and the skill that you have. Mm-hmm. And a handing it down as a legacy and a sharing, mm-hmm. versus like a hiring somebody to execute.
Yeah.
So that a part of you really does live on, even as other people in it, as other people are making it, not just because of the recipe, but energetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does feel a lot. That feels a lot better.
Yeah. Stop walking for a second. Feel into your body on that, right? Like, and whatever words feel better for you. Intern, apprentice, this handing down over of this legacy, this handing of the wisdom, this mentorship. Where are you feeling that in your body?
Like upper chest area.
Yeah. And so just continue to lean in there and into this possibility, this opportunity of this, and feel that in your chest. What does your chest want you to know about all of this?
There's a couple of things. One is that it would feel more like a gift.
Mm.
And like I would be receiving, but also giving.
Mm.
Like it feels more balanced,
mm-hmm.
and less extractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like, from what I've learned about teaching, especially over the years, of like, I think part of the confusion that I've run into is I feel like I have to have it all figured out before I can hire someone. Like I have to know exactly how it's going to work and what they're going to do. And then what comes after that. And it's like, I can't know that. And I don't have to know that.
Yeah.
Like I just have to sort of start it. And like, ideally what I would want it to be is a co-creation anyway. I don't want to be the only one in charge. That's why I'm hiring somebody.
Totally. You're so in tune with sacred rhythms because we're going into the Fool today. So so how is all of this feeling?
I'm just writing this down. It feels a lot lighter. There was like a lot of heaviness and like trying to stay in control of this process of giving up control, and it just wasn't. That just didn't click, but this feels better. And I'm sure there's still going to be stuff I run into, but starting here feels like a a better place to start.
Awesome. Beautiful. And I think it allows it also to like have its own timeline, because if you take on an intern or apprentice, it's not like you're just handing it over right away. Like you get to have that transition too, which feels like it might be important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Cause I would need to develop trust.
Yeah.
And so would they probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's exciting because it's, I'm going to say it like, your business is ready to grow. You know, it's, I can see it. Like it's just, it's so ripe for that. And not that growth is always the best thing or anything like that, but I think that you want it in your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's like about allowing it to happen in a way that feels an integrity for you and you making those decisions. And I feel like this is in line with all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. I'll keep you posted.
Great. Okay. Pinball.
Hi, everyone. I hope it's not too loud. I'm on the street. I went for a walk. I feel sorry.
I said right now it sounds good.
So I feel kind of embarrassed to share this, but I'm really tripping about this one client who I've asked about before. And I feel like I need to. So this is the client who's trying to get pregnant. So there's like a lot of judgment, and like my sense is, I don't know if it's like I'm taking over responsibility for like holding, like helping her stay grounded. But it's also that I feel overwhelmed by all these different things that we're focusing on. So as of our last session, two sessions ago, it's like she wants to start a yoga and wellness center. You know, at a time when like yoga studios are shutting down. You know, people are like questioning it. I was like, great, like you have this vision, you know, let's go with it. You know, I gave her questions to work on like her vision and purpose. You know, some suggestions for like starting like a market analysis. I don't know how to do these things, but it was just like, you know, like, see, you know, just like the encouragement to explore it. And then, and I'm going to be judgy. So it's like in her form, it's like she just discovered that like fertility costs $23,000. And I'm like, how are you 41 and don't know that fertility is expensive? Like, I didn't even try to have kids and I know. So I'm just like, it's like, I feel like she's doing too many things. And she's like, I just, you know, it's like her husband is skeptical. And she's like, I just know that like, if I focus on it, it'll work out. And so just parts of it like make me cringe. So I don't know like where I'm out of alignment or I'm like in judgment or, and it's also like, is she substituting this for like the baby she can't have? And the thing is like, she has wanted to do this for 10 years. And so, and then yesterday was like, well, other people already have yoga studios. I'm just like, what did you think? So I just don't know, like, yeah, I don't, you know, so we talked about comparison and her being where she is and, you know, but she's talking about like taking over leases and I'm just, cause it's also like, I don't know. Yeah. About like getting investors. It also feels like, is this out of my scope?
Right.
I'll just stop talking. Cause I feel like I'm just going on.
No. It's good to get the details. Okay. I think there are a couple of pieces in here.
I just want to say, I'm not like such a bitch in sessions. I just, it's like, I'm noticing these things coming up when I read her form. And then yesterday it's like, there's issues with her feeling pressure from her husband around not getting pregnant. I'm like, can we focus on this? Why are we talking about the fact that you just realized other people already have yoga studios?
Yeah. Okay, you're stumping me a little bit. I just want to say you're stumping me a little bit. If anybody has thoughts or things that they want to ask Inbal, please feel free to chime in. I'm trying to think why I'm getting overwhelmed by this right now. So hold on. Okay, I think this might be it, and please help from anyone. I think you are a little, like, my sense is that there's judgment. There is some judgment, which is okay. Like we all judge, right? But it feels like it has a little bit of a trigger for you, maybe, right? So there's some of your own stuff in this. So we can look at that. And then once you can clean that up, there's still going to be some judgment in there, but those will be judgments where your filters are checked. And then you can go and reflect, create awareness around it, and then see if it resonates for the client, ultimately trusting her truth. Does that make sense so far? And does that feel right on? Okay. So what are your triggers in this? Where are you being triggered?
So I think that there's something around like reality in quotes and like, yeah, like feeling like, you know, it's my responsibility somehow to like put her in reality, but also like, yeah, I think there's a part that's like, yeah, like all of this costs money. So like, is.
So yeah, where, I feel like where is that like, going? I'm judging up. Where is that showing up for you? Where do you feel like you're not based in reality?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, maybe about like what it takes to have a successful business or like my own money stuff and not having enough money, or like, does she just have endless money? Like, is this coming from her parents? Like, you want to get a house out here. You want to do fertility. You want to start a business. And yeah, maybe I'm jealous of like her risk and choice.
Take a moment with that. See how that feels. Try that on.
Yeah, I think it's less now. I'm saying it out loud. It's less about her choice. Maybe I'm jealous of her like maiden. That she's like, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and do it. And like, it's going to be amazing when I'm like, you know, in the trenches and like, feel like kind of beaten down. Maybe it's like this, like hopefulness, but there's definitely something about money.
Yeah.
That's triggering as fuck.
Yeah. I think so. You know, and I also happen to know you just made a very big investment and, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. Right. So it's like there may be some pieces around that as well. Right. Like if you've got anything going on around, like, who am I to just spend all this money and, you know, like, what am I doing? This isn't based in reality. Right. That could be filtering into how you're seeing the situation with her. Is this resonating?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, good. So this is the place to clean up. It's getting a little bit loud where you are, so I'm just going to go quick. This is the place to clean up Inbal. And then you can see, okay, with your like a more grounded discernment place, which is what the highest of judgment is, right? Like with your discernment, where does it feel like she is being harmful to herself, or, you know, where does it feel like she's not making the best decisions? And then you can present, you know, you can sort of share that with her and then see what resonates or not, but you won't be able to do that until you work more with these inner pieces. How does all of that feel?
That sounds good, but do you have any suggestions for like working with one of these pieces?
Yeah, so you can dialogue with either or both of these two. So you can dialogue with your like irresponsible maiden who spends a lot of money and makes rash decisions and kind of like get to know her a little bit more. And then maybe you can bring her into conversation with your like Saturn, you know, like these are the rules. This is how much you can spend. This is how you do things, and get some more movement and dialogue and awareness going on there. And then you bring it like post in the group or bring it back here, you know, after you do, I would do a couple of sittings with that, really kind of be with it. And then let's see what comes through all of that. But, you know, I'm just saying it because it feels like you've got, based on what you were saying, and I think it's accurate based on what I know of you, like a little bit of a disenfranchised mate. We all do have disenfranchised maidens, you know? And so connect in with her a bit more, reclaim her and get more comfortable with her. Then you don't have to kind of project that discomfort out onto clients.
Yeah, I'm really exciting with this new season. I'm like, maybe it's time to kind of, reconnect with the maiden anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Can I ask a question in addition on this? When you have a person who comes with a lot of things that they're very passionate about, like, oh, I really want to affect my health, my baby, my husband, the home, yoga studio, yay. And they like, full of all the passion of all the things. I mean, so I would, what would you do with that? Do you try to get them to prioritize the things that are really pulling at them and get them to sit with it over time so that one kind of floats to the top? Or?
Yeah, I mean, each situation is different, yeah. But generally, yes. And I think there's like two buckets of prioritization, like priority in their life and then priority in the time that you have together on what they want to be working on. But yeah, some version of prioritizing or seeing how some things may intersect together, or, you know, like what's underneath that could unlock both or more kind of things. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's a good question. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you for the opening. I wanted to name out loud that two things that are important for me right now are like grounding in my finances and hiring an accountant. I've never been organized. I've just always had like a spreadsheet and I totally resist that. And then visioning like in the clouds. And I realized through that inquiry that I stay really well in the realm of like emails and immediate things that need to happen. But these two are part of the next level of my work. So
love it.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Make sure to put a container around the visioning part, like a time containers, because that's oftentimes the first thing that can fly out the window, if not.
Yeah. Thank you. I had a question about a program. So I've been playing with like the ideal way of approaching my work and, you know, mostly doing groups now. And after my last launch, which just like knocked the life out of me, surprisingly, because I felt like somewhat prepared going into it. I've been thinking about like, so I want to run the Untether Your Voice program twice a year. Mm-hmm. And right now I have it where you can do the first 3.5 months only that gets you to the main story. And then the second half is about shaping that into your framework and your about page and your visibility strategy and more of like the tangible outward facing things. And energetically, I've realized how important it is for me to have space for myself. And this is like the first month in a year that I feel like I've had space. And it's so life-giving. And so I'm trying to figure out a model where, okay, and then just another point that I think you know is I have this voice accelerator program, which is for people who've graduated, that right now I have like 5 months and 5 months, and you can sign up for one or both. And what I'm thinking about is running like a 4 month foundational program twice a year that's live, that I can just be like totally present in. And then I have the energy to relaunch that in the fall. And then, but this might be too complicated. So my thought is like, if I did the 4 month live, the outward facing pieces, I could do a combination of like recordings and one-on-ones. And then they could join the Voice Accelerator program, which is kind of more, is a combination of like writing space and Q&A and some wisdom. And so that, and if you, I'm losing you, I don't know what
you said. So you are in part losing me, but yeah. Also I think where I'm getting stuck is like to put privates as a prereq to get into Voice Accelerator feels like self-sabotage.
So can you say more about that?
Yeah, because what's your capacity there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've limited the number of people that like do the full 6 month.
Okay.
And what I found in this cohort is I have like maybe 9 people doing that. And I have 2 one-on-ones with them on top of the like for the one-on-one that happens in the first phase.
Okay.
Which is a lot less than I was doing before. So that's good.
Okay, so 18 sessions a month. That's not bad.
So yeah, so my thought if I limited the number of people who do phase two, which is not usually everyone anyway, then I, you know, have this month of like not having to teach. I don't know, maybe it's my story of like, maybe teaching is not that hard, but just like, I want space to launch, you know?
No, yeah, if you want, I don't think so. I am with you. You want space, right? Yeah. You want space. So let me just make sure I understand. So there'd be 4 months of the foundational program.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 months of recorded trainings and privates.
Yes. And during that time, so during that time, like the Voice Accelerator thing would be starting so that they could have a place to do the work in community.
So they would also be in Voice Accelerator at the same time.
Well, the way I have it now, what I'm thinking about is like the 4 months would be from September to December. And then there would be a month of no, me not teaching at all, but I would be doing one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then mid-February, the Voice Accelerator starts. So it'd be like 6 weeks of the one-on-one recording approach. And then they'd have essentially 5 more months. So what I'm thinking about is selling it as like, you either do the 4 month program or you do the 10 month program.
Which would be the 4, the 6 and the 4.
Yeah, the 4, And what I'm wondering is like, I'm talking this out loud. It sounds very complicated. So maybe that's not a good sign, but I was thinking like, oh, should I then sell it as like a 3-tiered thing where it's like, you can do.
No. Only 2 tiers, no more than 2 tiers. I think it can work. I wonder if instead of 6 weeks, you should give it 8 weeks just to give, you're already giving yourself some time off, give yourself some time off, you know, and so that you can have more time to fulfill the privates if you need to. And so that they have like 2 months to kind of incubate in that.
Yeah.
I think it can work. I think it can work. I would love to see it on paper, you know, just so I can see all the things in front of me. But no, I think that can work, Kara. And I love that you're honoring your need for space. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna help you in your launches. I mean, it's gonna help you, period, most important. But I think it's gonna help your launches too. I think it can work. I just wanna see all the numbers and the knobs on paper.
Okay. Should I put that in the Facebook group?
Yeah, post it there. I'll take a look.
And then one last question related to the overall picture. So if I gave it 8 weeks, you know, between the first program and like the Voice Accelerator, and just given that my husband runs summer camps and I'm trying to like make the summer, as you do, right, less busy, do you think it would be weird to have like a 4 month Voice Accelerator in the spring and a 4 month Voice Accelerator in the fall, and then there's this like open space between them?
Not at all. No, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll give you enough time to fill both. Really, right. You know, you almost want to think if you can, like every 6 months, it's starting, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yay. More space.
More space.
Lissa.
Hi. I do have a logistical question, but I'm also like in an emotional funk. Bear with me. I'm just, the meditation, the message, I'm sorry, this is all just coming out.
It's all good and welcome.
I'm to be kind to myself in the creation as replacement for all the ways that I've had to show up in the reactions. Mm-hmm. And my 30-year-old self is really up. You know, all the ways I just had to show up in my 30s. Actively being traumatized and 4 children and, you know, all that thing. So anyways, I'm just really tired. But I'm on this path. I'm committed to this path. I'm following this path. I show up on this path. I'm also really tired of lockdown, being with, I've got 3 generations in this house, and, you know, I know how to be the destroyer. And there's a lot of heavy cloud in my house with people who just, there are things that need to be, and it's not happening. So it's just a hard swim. Yeah. And I don't know, like, who do I get to talk to? You know?
When you say who do you
because everything is so epic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, some of my stories, like I try to get started and then my phone jingles and I have to go in this whole conversation. And then I have to get back on and be gentle with myself because I don't want to make myself do this. I want to be pulled along in the graces of the goddess and the work that we're doing. And so I'm just having a hard time with that right now, and I don't know what to say about that.
I think you're saying what needs to be said. I just, one question for clarification, when you said who do I get to talk to, what do you, just tell me what you mean by that so I understand.
It just, you know, things just the things I have going on are not easy for people to discuss.
It's a lot. You, first of all, you have a lot going on, and I just want to honor that, right? Like, you've got we all have a lot going on and you have a lot going on, you know, like three generations in one house, all the things. And so I want to honor that you're holding all of that.
Thank you.
A lot.
Yeah. As I'm recreating myself in this new way and you know, like reclaiming my self-sufficiency from my 20s, I'm 62, and just like picking up where I left off and really being mindful and, you know.
And you're doing it like so beautifully and with such grace and with such intention and with such integrity. It's because you could just check out, you know, but you're not, Lissa, right?
Yeah.
So just first, I hear you, and it's amazing what you're doing with all of the like shit sandwiches in tow, you know. Two things really strike me. One is that in your 30s, you had to show up. And I think some of that's a little, that have to is being projected onto where you are now with your work. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes just shifting language, like I choose to.
Yeah, it's a daily practice for me in showing up in this way.
Yeah, yeah. And so glad you're doing that. And I would just continue to be with that. I would also, tell me what you think about this. Give space for your 30-year-old to throw a temper tantrum, like in ritual. I can feel it, like just as you're talking, like she needs a massive like tantrum release, you know?
Yeah.
If that resonates, I would make space for her to be fully expressed in all the ways that she couldn't be for so long.
And then another part of it is, you know, that's my experience, and then it goes global. Like as I heal myself, it's like calling in this healing for all women who've been in a situation where, you know, I've been in a partnership with my husband all these years. All he's done is drive away. I've done everything else. He gets all the value. I have no value. I have no value in this society as far as like social security things are coming to me now. I'm worth $200 a month. And that's because of the work I did in my early 20s when I graduated, you know, things like that. And so it goes into this global, like the things that we see, like, do you know what I mean? It just, so then it comes like a mind fuck. And then,
totally, which is why I
bring myself back in, and you know, and then so I'm now, I need to be writing the next thing. I don't need to be, I choose to be writing for my blog posts and you know, getting my social media, and these are the things I need to talk about. And so then I don't know, talking about these things in public, and I could be fierce, like you said, this person that I was, you know, just like finding my voice and listening to Kara saying, So, yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot. And I'm going between epic and muggle and epic and muggle and I'm working on getting my path forward in the midst of a cloud, yeah. You know, a storm.
I hear you. Yeah. And it's not like, I want to tie it up. I want to give you something right. Tie it up in a neat bow. And that's not what this is.
No.
But what I'm hearing, and you tell me if this resonates and add any pieces or take away, what I'm hearing is number one, like I said, like giving voice to the 30-year-old and also maybe reconnecting back to the 20-year-old. Too.
Yeah.
You know, just continue like doing that work really.
So you had to survive.
Yeah. Really, like really allowing for it. The second thing I'm hearing, Lissa, is it may be really valuable for you to have someone that can hold space for you every week for like 45 minutes or an hour. That doesn't have to be super expensive either, but to find someone who is not in your life,
right,
who can hold the space for you. I feel like you need it. You said you need it. So I'm just actually just reflecting that. But, you know, and if you need help finding that person, we can help you. We all know people, but so just someone who can hold that space for you regularly because you are holding so much.
Right.
And then I know you're moving the blogs and the social media along. So I don't want to but I would just say you're doing it like this, small pieces, small pieces, right. Small pieces, but that's my sense of, you know, next steps. How does that feel?
Yeah. Good. It also, thank you for witnessing everyone. It's just really up today. By the way, there are no therapists open right now. My daughter's been looking for one for a year. They're just so bombarded, but I don't think regular therapy is the venue I need. It's gotta be more priestessy than classic.
Yeah, it may be.
So, yeah.
I think that there are options.
Pardon?
There are options.
Yeah, I'm sure. So anyway, thank you for helping me wade through that. The logistical question I had was, I did have a connection call with someone and that was really fun. But she was literally needed someone to talk to. And so she pretty much just, I did get the format of the questions through, but she had a lot to unload and then was like, you know, she doesn't have, she's going to work on the money part for coming in too. She can see the value of working with me. So one of the things that I thought, because right now I just have on there the transformational mentoring, you know, for over 3 months time. And there was a few calls ago that people were talking about VIP sessions, and it really, you know, I thought of the idea of a breakthrough intensive, like 3 hours, like a block of 3 hours with somebody to just work through basics. And then they could come in from that into the transformational mentoring. But so my question was I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how the 3 hours, what would happen in that 3 hour container? Like, what's the path?
So I think it would probably a couple pieces. So a little bit, it's going to be client by client, like based on what their needs are, what's their gap, what's their vision.
Right.
So you're okay. So that's one way to look at it, right? Is what's their gap, what's their vision? And then once you know that, what can be accomplished in 3 hours, and you can call that the first leg of the work and do that, right? That's what I would recommend. Just take it person by person. But I would almost have the 3 hour in your back pocket as if someone
is down sell.
Expensive, right? So that way you don't have to do a lot of writing on it. And this is what we do in this, you know, for your marketing, and you can really just tailor it person by person. For right now, that's how I would do it.
Right. Because she had asked, she wanted to do one off, and I'm like, you know, you and I know that.
Yeah. What I would do with her is see, go back, spend a little time with yourself on what she shared and what she needs, and say, okay, here's where she is right now. Her very first step is right. And you'll know that based on, you know, her very first step in this journey is this. And then ask yourself if that's something that you can make headway on in 3 hours. And if you feel that you can with integrity, that's what I would present to her.
So my question is, as a teacher, what's my container of the beginning, middle, end of a 3 hour, you know, instead of just walking in open conversation, like on the connection, on the enrollment call, it's like, you know, the three pieces that you have. And of course we roll with those three pieces. I'm just wondering.
So it's going to depend, right? So for example, let's say with this client, you see like the first thing that's really important for her is to work on her imposter syndrome. I don't know, right? Like I'm making it up, right? So from there you would say, okay, like, you know, these are kind of the three things that I hope we would hope to hit in the three, and it doesn't have to be three things in the 3 hours,
right.
One or two, right? I think it's going to be person by person based on what it is you're seeing that they need. I don't think you should do like a pre, I don't think you should have it in your mind that it's always going to be this, this, and this. I think you should tailor it to each prospect that you speak to. Does that make sense?
I don't know how else to ask, like the idea of like an enrollment call, you begin with what's working for you, what's not working, you know, the bridge, the gap, like those movement pieces that, I don't know. All right. I guess I'll just think on it then.
Well, no, ask again, or if somebody that's listening is understanding.
What's a basic guide? Like, so I would begin, what, you know, what is it that you would like to work on today? What's the biggest thing?
And well, if it's a three, no, see, if it's a 3 hour, Lissa, you would tell them based on the gap, their gap in vision.
Okay.
So when you do gap in vision with them, you would determine, okay, they're here and they want to end here. And the first 3 hours that they really like need to devote their time on is this, right? Imposter syndrome, right. Looking at self-judgment, working on the fear of X, but you would determine that from the enrollment conversation. And then that, and you would tell them, this is what we could do in our 3 hour intensive. I would recommend working on this first. And this is, we would do this in a 3 hour intensive. Does that make more sense?
Can I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, in sacred, we've all been through sacred depths. Lissa, you went through sacred depths. What I would do myself is I'd go through sacred depths material through like the shadow work and the long list of things we learned how to do. And I would probably think about my client and think, out of everything I learned in sacred depths, these are the three things that I think would be most useful for this client. And then Joanna has all these great questions around those three things and how to work with them. And I would probably use that material and come up with, pluck out some of that material and come up with a basic outline that would take those 3 hours.
That's a great suggestion.
Okay, that is, thank you. Yeah, to, yeah, those, that meat section of the shadow and the,
or like you can know, like you're gonna do a befriend your fear process. It will be a different fear with each client, but those 3 hours are like befriend your fear and then strategizing on next steps based on the work that you did, or, you know, whatever it is for you.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks, Mara.
Thank you.
Okay, is that more clear?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm good at rolling with things, but the, you know, like 3 hours is a big thing to roll with. So I just needed a little more of a container for myself.
Yeah. So. Good.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Mara.
Can I tell you about a client I'm working with? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I've worked with him before. He was actually my very first client. And I worked with him for free before. And then he came back and he hired me for 6 months. And I find I'm going down the rabbit hole with him quite a bit. And I'll just tell you a little bit about him. So he's a business analyst. He's really heady, very cerebral. And like, he will literally come with Excel spreadsheets when he wants to think about something, and it'll all be drafted out, right? So what he's saying he wants is to not necessarily a goal specific goal, like, oh, start a course or improve my marriage or my health. It's, I want to feel more alive and awake in my life. I want to feel more engaged. I want to feel more excited. Mm-hmm. These are very feeling oriented kind of states. So I try to go below the intellect quite a bit. And what keeps happening again and again when he's feeling into like heart and gut type stuff is, you know, a lot of rules. And so he's a Sunni Muslim Egyptian man, and he takes his roles in his family as father and husband very seriously. And in his work, he has to do everything just right. And he has very strong beliefs about the right way to live. And he's kind of stuck in this middle of, and I can feel my filters coming up quite a bit too, because as an American, it's very much like, well, what do you want to do? It's the needs of the individual have to come up. And whenever I start going in there, it's kind of like, you know, in Egypt, he says it's, you're seen as a fool if you talk like that. It's the needs of the family. It's the needs of the group that come first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he can feel himself, but he was also, now he's in the States and he's been affected by this culture. So he feels kind of like this individual pull, but the minute that comes up, it's like to be a good father, to be a good, to earn the money, to do all the things, this is the right thing to do. So if I try to go deeper into what he wants, there's, you know, first of all, there's just the intellect, like, well, let me tell you all the things. And I say, how do you feel about blah, blah, blah? I feel it's a bad decision because blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, so it's super up here. And what happens during our sessions is he is so cerebral that, and he has all these great questions. We wind up going in circles through our sessions. And I try to get down, and there's only so many times I can ask him, what does that feel like? And he'll say like, good or bad. You know, it's because there's just not been that kind of work to really get in touch. So I'm wondering if I just keep down this path of, you know, noticing how he's experiencing things in his body or in his heart or in his emotions. And often what comes up for him is, I got nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you're going to get farther with that. I have an idea, but I just want to ask you a question first. Have you created awareness around some of this?
Oh, yeah.
Like the rules and all of that, like you guys have said.
Okay. Yeah.
So good. So here's my thought, because I just don't think that's his language and I don't think that's his way.
Yeah.
My thought is actually to use archetypes. So if you could, you may identify them for him, or maybe he can identify it himself. Like, so for example, like at a certain moment to say, okay, close your eyes. What does your rule breaker look like? I'm just making this up. You're losing, right? Like, what does your rule breaker look like? What is this one where, you know, if you had a rule breaker inside of you, you know, like put it in language, you're not going to use the archetype of, right? Like you had, even if it's just like in your little pinky toe, a rule breaker, they look like a person. What would that one look like? How does that one dress? What would your rule breaker want you to do? But you probably wouldn't use rule breaker. You'd probably work with him to find like a positive name for the part of him that really desires to be more alive and to not be in the old status quo. Do you know what I mean? And then maybe you could, instead of how do you feel, you could say like, well, but what does that one have to say about this? So that could be a way around the feeling to get to the feeling. So that's a thought that I have.
Oh, I like that. And often when I go in, I'm always, you know, like it's always a part of them that isn't very useful. Like, oh, the perfect husband. What does the perfect husband want you to know about this situation? But I don't tend to use like the other end. Like he was eight, he was full of life.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, to kind of do that, and to, you know, to kind of connect in with that, the positive, right? The light of it, the, that, the alive one, the expansive one, you know, the one that sees the possibility.
I also wonder, I like that. I'm definitely going to use it. I also am wondering, like, I'm looking for like trailheads to get in to go deeper, right? And when it comes to coming, like, sensing into something more that's more real, his family is so important to him. I mean, would it be helpful to talk about relationships with his family? Because I also sense, like, I feel a little resistant there, like almost as though, like, look, I take care of my family all day. I just want to think about me. But often it's our relationships that are the source of the deep stuff.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, without knowing all of the details, I'd say possibly, though, one thing that could, you know, that I am thinking for sure that could be helpful, not for sure, but I'm guessing, is something around, wait, I just had it and I lost it. Having an exploration of the him that his kids and his family get when he's depleted and feels dead versus the him that they would get and the impact of it, the alive one, the one that's more exuberant, or, you know, whatever it is. And to see him through their eyes in these two ways might give him more permission to loosen up too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I mean, he wants to be a good husband and father, right? Yeah. So yeah.
To help him see that he's actually going to be a better husband and father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a better way.
Right. Right.
Create awareness around that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let us know how it goes.
I will.
Michelle.
Thank you. I have a client who, it's more of a consulting teaching relationship. And I was employed, or I was, her services are being paid for by her employer. However, I've kind of been pulled into an odd situation and a difficult situation. And I don't feel like I can help her in the way that, let me just back this up and say this. Her employer has shared with me on several occasions, she's walking on thin ice. I mean, and you know, then her and I meet, and I know there's things going on in her home that are affecting her. And yet she doesn't listen to the things that I am suggesting for her to do, but I don't want her to lose her job. I don't want to be in any part of that. And in my early conversations a few months ago with her employer, you know, part of the conversation, the things that they shared, like, I never saw, but now I'm sort of seeing them,
mm-hmm.
but they're paying the bill. So I really feel like I'm in this, you know, place where I don't want to be anymore. And as I was, you know, preparing to ask this question, I mean, there's a part of me that I think I need to let her go. I think I need to just gracefully bow out of this. But I think I'm also fearful for her of where we are. I don't want her employer to think like, I'm not making any progress, therefore she needs to be removed. But I also don't want her employer to bring somebody new in and them to think that, like, oh, cool. Well, if she did all this, now she can train this person. Like, so I think what I'm trying to figure out is, how do I release somebody who I'm no longer a match to without possibly jeopardizing her livelihood?
I think I only half understand the question. Sorry.
That's okay.
Let me just get all the facts straight. So she doesn't know that she's on thin ice, but you know that she's on thin ice, or does she know also?
No, I don't believe that they've shared that specific with her. They've had multiple conversations with her about things and have given her an opportunity to correct those. But there's a slight bit of arrogance with her that leads me to believe that she doesn't realize the situation.
Okay. And then they brought you in to see if some of that could be turned around.
Yeah, to support her in the department that she's in the work, and also in leading people that she needs to be leading to do the work, to do additional work. Yes.
Got it. And you're scared that if you bow out, you're just going to be leaving her hanging. And because of that, she's going to lose her job.
Yeah, there's definitely a part of that. But I also feel like in a personal coaching relationship, or she was the business owner, when she shared with me some things that she shared with me recently that are happening at home, like we would have spent time looking at that and finding solutions and strategizing there. But her employer wants me to, like, you know, here's this, like, let's get do these things. So there's like almost this conflict, you know.
Now I understand.
Okay. Yeah, she's taken on a 6-year-old from a relative.
Okay.
And it's just, it's really messy, the dynamics.
Okay. So tell me if I think I'm understanding it now, and this is my thought, and tell me if this makes sense. My thought is to first speak to her and say to her, look, you have this and this and this going on. I'm here to support you with your work pieces, but from understanding your full situation, I know that we can't even get at your work pieces until we deal with these personal pieces, because these personal pieces are in the way of the work pieces. And I am not 100% sure that your company wants to pay me to support you in these personal pieces, even though it's in service of the professional, right? So I would say that first. And then, Michelle, this is where you have choice. If you want, you can say, do I have permission not to share the details of your personal life with you, but to speak to your boss so that I can explain that we need to do this piece of work first in order to support you and to see if they would still like to retain my services? Or does it make sense if you know, for us to kind of let it at this? And my strong recommendation for you would be, and if you don't want to work with her, don't say for you to hire me, but for you to hire someone to work on this piece first.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I would kind of just lay it all out. How does that feel?
The permission to ask her employer if we can go there, it feels good. It gives me something to look at with her and with them. I think I have to really also just see, is she the right person, or is the work that I'm doing with her the right work for me? Like,
right. And so
there's that other part of that.
Right. Yeah. So that's the choice too. Like, and I was going to say, decide first if you even want to continue with her. If not, then you still lay out that piece. I've been hired for this, but I really see we need to do this and this. And therefore I can't, you know, like this isn't aligned because I'm also answering to your boss. Yeah. I would suggest that you find someone who can help you with this, right? So if you decide you don't want to work with her, go that route. But either way, I would just kind of lay it out, you know, as you see it, and then go from there.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know whenever we are working with corporate clients or anything like that, we have two bosses or like two interests, and then you have to navigate that.
It's harder than I thought it would be.
It can be tricky. Yeah. I've been there. Bryn.
Hi. My question today is, I'm itching to get started to coaching. And I want to, you know, do my coaching, fulfill the requirements too for the certification. So I was thinking, plus I also want to be in service. So I have a couple of ideas, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say. One is, I was thinking as volunteering services to those that have kind of been on the front line of everything for the pandemic. So it could be the teachers at my son's high school. It could be people that my neighbor works for hospice. Maybe I could offer something like that to them. And I was thinking of ways that maybe it would be like 9 sessions, 6 sessions, 3 sessions or whatever. Okay. Then I was thinking it would be nice to also, well, you had suggested, Joanna, I guess a couple months ago, for me to offer kind of a get to know me special scenario of working either 2 or 3 sessions for a nominal price too. And my outreach has consisted of doing what I call DMs out on Facebook to my community of, and I made up a script of like, you know what, it's been a long time. I really value in my community. I'd like to get to know, you know, get to know more what's going on. I feel like Facebook is great for bringing people together, but I feel like it's a cocktail scenario when I just hear bits and pieces. Can we schedule a conversation, you know, just a chat or whatever. And I've gotten some feedback on that, but I've made some strategic alliances, but I haven't had any move to the next step for enrollment conversations. And a lot of people also have said, this isn't good timing to talk. Things are going on in life, whatever. What do I do? What's my next steps?
Yeah. Okay. A couple of things. So first of all, I love that you're thinking about frontline workers. Okay. A couple of things. So first of all, yes, yay to that. So number one, can you share that DM in the Facebook group just so we can take a look at it and see what's what, because there may be some places to tweak there. For the teachers and the frontline workers, here's the thought that I have. Because you could do it for free, but I wonder, this would take a little bit, okay? But I wonder, I can't remember the name of the thing, but to do like sponsorship, like get sponsorships for frontline workers. What's it called when crowdsourcing? What's that company?
GoFundMe?
Yeah, like to do one for that. Say like, I want to give 5 spots or 10 spots to teachers in the community, blah, 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 blah. Can you know, and I will give from my heart and my time, but can you like who wants to give $30, who wants to give $60, who wants to give $125, who wants to give 10, right? To like sponsor these spots. The school may even be willing to put that out. You know, if you're saying I want to give 5 teachers spots for this, but can they help, you know, like get some like crowd, you'll put the crowdsource, whatever it's GoFundMe, whatever it is together. Yeah. But so then at least you can bring in some income on that. You're doing the community a service. I would probably not do more than 6 sessions per person, like max probably. And then if they want to continue, they can pay or, you know, whatever it is, but it could be actually a way of marketing and getting your name out there. If there's like the GoFundMe and the, you know, people are, like seeing this is what you do, you know, and I can help you. We can all help you just put together like a little blurb for it, like the importance of getting support, you know, during these times for these teachers or, you know, whatever it is, and they're exhausted, blah, 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 you know, and like, this is the work that you do. So it could kind of do a couple things at once. I don't know. What do you think?
Great, because I have a really good relationship with the high school teacher. I just talked to her. I sent her a thank you note because I think she's doing an amazing job. And she was very pleased with like the support that, you know, from the community and stuff. And so, yeah, that she would be my in. And I've also, like superintendent too. And I've sent him a thank you note. So
that's amazing. Yes. Yeah, so they, and Michelle just put some great wording in there to use, giving back to those who have given so much during this pandemic, right? Like, I mean, I don't know, but I bet you it'd be pretty easy for people to put down $25, $50, you know, whatever. It may not pay for the full 6 spots, but you'll get some money and you'll get your name out there. And you can even have it in there, like as part of it, like nominate, if you know a teacher, nominate them for a spot, you know, like it could be a whole thing that really brings you visibility and all of that. I know I'm getting excited talking about it.
So. Oh, that was good. I like that tip. Yeah. Nominate them because they also have a fund towards like the end of the year. Like if you like a teacher, give them a donation or, you know, yeah. a gift card or whatever. Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Do I have time for one more question?
Or how long is it? If it's super,
it's just if I do that nominal thing just for like other people, would it be like 3 sessions for like 45 minutes? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And just be explicit that it's an intro. This is really how much we intro. And in 3 sessions, it's a toe dipper, that kind of thing.
Toe dipper. Awesome. Okay, thank you.
All right, Bryn, keep us posted. Let us know what you need on this.
I hope
great. Okay. Thanks, everyone. For those of you that have hung on till the end, just wonderful, wonderful questions and call. I'm sending all of you love. If you need anything, let me know. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.